Welcome to the Smoke and Rope Podcast, the show that brings together Michigan's top cannabis growers, advocates, and business owners to offer a fresh and honest perspective of Michigan's cannabis industry. Stick with us to get the lowdown from the people who have been on the ground floor of cannabis business in Michigan and gain insights into where the industry may be heading.
Welcome to the Smoke and Rope Podcast, edition number 4. I'm excited today to have on good friend and longtime cannabis activist, Robin Schneider, Executive Director of the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association. And as always, my co-host, Sam Rosinski from Fresh Coast Extracts. How's it going, Sam?
Good, Ryan. How are you doing?
Doing great. Tom Beller from Real Leaf Solutions. Tom?
Hey, Ryan. What's up?
Hey. And Kevin Pybus from True Cannabis. What's going on, Kevin?
Not much, Ryan. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Excited to have Robin on. First of all, Robin, thank you for joining us. We're excited to be talking to you today.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So like we usually do, we always like to talk a little bit about cannabis history in Michigan and make sure it's not forgotten. And not everyone knows how early Robin was involved in it. I had the pleasure. I opened up Capital City Caregivers, I think May 7th, 2010 on Michigan Avenue. And Robin had already opened Capital City Compassion Club and was doing doctor certs and maybe some other stuff. I don't know. And then it's been 10 years. So, and then within a couple of days, I get a knock on our door and Robin had marched down wondering who the hell I think we were doing what we were. And then we met and became friends and teamed up ever since. Robin was the first lobbyist with the Michigan Association of Compassion Centers, went on to the National Patients' Rights Association, and then ended up you being the fundraising chair for Prop 1, and then after that started the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association. So you can't talk about Michigan politics, marijuana, without talking about Robin, and it's a great thing. I'm glad we have the association going. So that is my intro. Robin, I wanted to ask you about, we have the second annual summer annual up at up in Northern Michigan coming up August 19th and 20th and a little bit of the 21st. It's for members only. It's a great one of the great benefits of being a member. Tell us about that and what's going on.
Sure. Well, as you can imagine, last year's event was amazing. And one of the things I noticed was that our members talked about it all year long, that they couldn't wait to go back. And then we found ourselves in a, middle of a worldwide pandemic and unfortunately had to make several modifications, to the event because, for instance, we had to cancel our Torch Lake Sandbar party for obvious reasons. That's okay because we're going to be able to do it next year. But one of the things that we realized that we can do safely is the golf tournament. In fact, I'm up here at Shanty Creek right now, and there are lots of golf tournaments going on as we speak. And so this year we decided let's really show our members who golf a good time and make sure that everybody is able to do so in a safe and executive order compliant manner. So Kevin Pybus of True Cannabis actually took the lead in helping us organize the golf tournament this year. In fact, he rebranded it for us as the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association's Chronic Cup Championship. And we have purchased some very nice prizes for our golfers. And Kevin was wonderful at putting those prize packages together. And we also ordered 4 cups for the winning team that the champions will get to take home with them when they win.
Nice. Are those going to be engraved and maybe even have it an annual thing? Maybe they bring it back someday. We'll have to ask Kevin about that. That's awesome.
We're going to order new ones every year for the champions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And yes, they are engraved. They're absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, of course, Robin. It was my honor to help out. I'm an avid golfer, and this was really fun for me to put together, you know, some of these prizes. You know, I know you guys put up a bunch of money to get this done, and I think it's awesome. We've got a ton of cool stuff to give away. We have a prize for each hole. So, you know, each person that participates in the outing will get a set amount of tickets. They'll be able to put them in whichever jar they want to try to win that prize. And then we'll draw out the winners. And then what we'll do is we'll limit that to one winner, one prize per person. So we'll have 18 winners, which will be really cool. 18 people will be able to take home a top of the line item for their new golf bag. The other thing that we did also is we put together a competition for the longest drive. So we got a really cool driver, a Callaway Rogue driver that we're going to give away for the longest drive. We also have an Odyssey triple track 10 putter that we're going to give away for closest to the pin. And it should be a really cool event. I'm really looking forward to it. I was up there this last weekend and golfed at the course and talked to the clubhouse people there, and they're going to look out for us. They're going to help us set up some stuff outside so that we can social distance and make sure that everybody's safe while we do it. So I'm really excited and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we won't have any spectators on the course this year, but that's okay. We can do that next year. And, you know, I'm looking forward, obviously, to next year's event already, because I think that we'll be able to, you know, really do it up next year and make sure that we make up for the lost time. We are going to still have some outdoor educational sessions, and all of our members' meals have been moved outside due to executive order. But, you know, one of the things I can say about working in the cannabis industry is that our members fully understand compliance and how to, you know, operate in a heavily regulated environment. And so as the executive orders are ever changing, you know, if anybody understands, you know, how to follow rules and regulations, it's this group. And so I'm very comfortable with, you know, our membership being able to handle this responsibly. And we did have to limit the number of attendees, but, you know, that's okay.
Well, that's great. You know, we're excited about it. I'm excited. I think all of us on the show are going to be there and be responsible, but what a great networking event. And, but you know, hey, we got you here, and you're in the know as much or maybe more than anyone in the state on what's happening with rules, regulations. And we got business owners here. So I wanted to have these guys ask a few questions.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, if I can jump in right now, I actually have a question for Kevin. Kevin, how's the scoring on the golf tournament working? So if it's highest score gets the most amount of tickets, I think I got a pretty good shot at that driver.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it's gonna go. I'm sorry, that question was for Kevin.
No, it's okay, Robin. You can jump in anytime you want. No, it's gonna be a scramble, Sam. 4-man scramble. So basically, all four guys will hit a ball off the tee. The best shot of the four will proceed forward, and then the best score at the end of the tournament will win the prize. So, you know, what typically happens in events like this, you'll see a 10 or 12 under team, you know, get there and win the championship. So it's going to be pretty cool. It'll be fun for everybody. You don't have to be an awesome golfer, and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what Sam was getting at there with his awesome joke.
Yeah. Sam, no, you're going to get a set amount of tickets, and I don't want any photocopying or any of that stuff. We're going to put in the right amount of tickets, and we're going to do this legit, Sam.
Well, don't you need somebody on your team, Kevin? Don't you need one more? Sounds like Sam's available.
I'm a great handicap.
You know what? This isn't a handicap tournament, so I actually need somebody that can shoot the ball. So, Sam, I need you to get to the range if you want to be on my team.
There we go. Yeah, no, I'm stacking the deck right now. We were ordering tickets a couple of days ago, and it's like, you know, I'm walking around the facility, the lab. I'm like, all right, who's the best golfer? And, you know, the chances we can get. So I was trying to understand the rules ahead of time. You know, meanwhile, we're looking at the tickets, and, you know, I'm like, wow, all right, you know, you've got wine social. I've got a tea party, and I got the guys looking at me like, no, you're in the golf tournament.
Yeah, that's another thing that, you know, that we're going to do during the golf tournament. I noticed we had a lot of ladies who don't golf coming. And so I thought, what can we do? And so Anquinette Sarfo will be hosting a tea party outside where we will have some education about pairing and terpenes and, you know, all of that fun stuff. So we're looking forward to that as well.
Can gentlemen join also? I'm a terrible golfer, but I do.
Oh, absolutely. The gentlemen are welcome to come to the tea party. Again, it'll be outside, social distance, assigned seating. But we're really looking forward to it. We'll have microphones so that everybody will be able to hear from a distance.
I have the perfect tiny hat for that.
There you go.
So, hey, Robin, not to change the subject, but we had Senator Jeff Irwin last week. It was awesome having him on. I really appreciate him coming on the show. We talked about an expungement, and some huge news came out of Lansing. I believe it was today that Dana Nessel has sent over a letter to the governor asking for Michael Thompson's sentence to be reduced. I think that we all have been asking for that. And, you know, that's one of the things that Redemption is doing as we're working towards, you know, righting the wrongs of the past. I know that this is really personal to you. I know you've had some history with some of these issues, and I just wanted to get your take on that.
Sure, absolutely. And yes, you know, my father was incarcerated on a cannabis-related crime. And so obviously that, you know, changes the entire trajectory of your life as a child. And, you know, we had a lot of hardships, you know, that our family went through related to that. And it never really made sense to me, you know, why parents are locked up and, you know, the kids are left out in the cold over cannabis. And so, yeah, that's what led me, you know, to become initially an activist and then understanding the medical benefit of it to, you know, all the way to, you know, working, you know, on the Prop 1 campaign. And here we are, you know, business. So it's been a long road, but, you know, the Michael Thompson story is absolutely something that has, you know, pulled at my heartstrings for a long time. I know the first time, you know, Karen O'Keefe from Marijuana Policy Project reached out to me and, you know, asked me to, you know, discuss Michael's case with the Last Prisoner Project. That was almost a year ago. You know, we continued correspondence and you know, we have obviously regular meetings, you know, with the administration on various cannabis related issues. And, you know, Michael Thompson is always on the agenda. And, you know, it's been really frustrating because, essentially he applied for his, you know, commutation. The parole board has delayed. They have not made a decision either in favor of or, you know, or denial. They are way past the allotted time for what they were supposed to, you know, make that decision. You know, even if they were to just deny him and send it on to the governor's desk, she could legally grant his release. And so, you know, we've been, you know, talking with, you know, the Last Prisoner Project, who has been amazing in calling for his release. We've got celebrities calling for his release. There's also, you know, a company that's filming a documentary that checks in with me at least once a week. They will be coming to Michigan to do some filming. Ryan, I referred them to you. I don't know if you've heard from them or not yet.
Yep, I spoke with them. It was,
yeah,
thank you.
Great. Wonderful. They're wonderful. And they have provided me with, you know, a ton of information as far as legal workarounds. And, you know, we keep getting, you know, the obstacle has absolutely been that parole board. And so today was really a game changer in all of that, because I felt a lot of frustration over, you know, months and months and months of trying to advocate for his release and nothing, you know, getting, you know, excuses, essentially. And, you know, that's one of the things that, I said to the documentary company is, look, if there's a legal workaround, if there's a way to do this, like I believe the leaders in the state would do it, you know. And so to see the attorney general come out with such a strong statement, I really believe that it was a game changer. In fact, I sent her a message of thank you right away when I saw it. And I've also, you know, communicated today with the Last Prisoner Project and the people making the documentary as well. So hopefully that's we're awesome. Getting there. And everybody who's helped with this, thank you so much.
Yeah, that's awesome, Robin. I'm fired up. It didn't make political sense, you know, like to not do it, whether the governor agrees with it or not. It makes no sense politically to do it. And for Dana to come out and do that in election year with everything going on, that's a big deal. And I guess, you know, that's why we're lucky to have Dana as our AG and not Bill Schuette. So you know, we're talking here a lot about great stuff and activism, but you know, you're on the footprint, or you have your hand, you're in the know better than anyone that I know as far as what's going on with the Michigan law and the politics and what we got to do. And I know Sam and Tom and Kevin had some questions, so I wanted to open that up for them right now.
Yeah, I'll go first. So, Robin, you and I have had a couple of conversations just about being able to keep the peace amongst multiple license classes. You know, there's been several issues that have affected, and I know bipartisan isn't the right word, but have affected multiple license classes in the past. I mean, when you're going in trying to rally the support of one or several groups, how do you go about just keeping a balance amongst the association when a new topic is on the agenda?
Well, and that is a difficult thing to balance. And I think for me, the first step is always surveying where does everybody stand on an issue. I mean, that is step one. When something controversial comes across my desk, I do the due diligence in, you know, calling the different license types directly, you know, trying to survey where our members stand on it, before I even move forward with tackling the issue, making sure that I know how everybody feels about it and how it would affect their businesses. From there, I try to, you know, understand, you know, what should our position be, and how can we compromise in a way that would accommodate, you know, all of our members or the majority of our members. And then I would essentially, and we're very, you know, good at taking every issue directly to our board of directors and actually creating a resolution with, you know, that the attorney creates and then putting something up for a vote before I move forward with any directives to our lobbyists on what our position is. And so a good example of, you know, just more recently, you know, we had a situation where Rep. Yarrow introduced a bill that would require caregivers to get express permission from their local municipality before they could cultivate cannabis. And of course, I immediately heard not just from caregivers who aren't our members, but some of our own members who said, you know, this isn't right. And this is, you know, not fair. What about, you know, pediatric parents who are required by law to be their child's caregiver? I know that, you know, there are some pretty high profile pediatric patients out there whose parents have worked really hard to dial it in to consistently provide medicine for their kids. And of course, deep down, I'm thinking, I am so afraid to put this on the agenda because what happens if they tell me that I have to go support a bill that would be harmful to the caregivers? I would never feel good about that on a personal level. But knowing that it's my job, you know, I collected all the facts. I put forward a resolution and I let them vote it out. And they almost unanimously voted that we were to oppose the bill and lobby against it. Sigh of relief. Again.
What did the other association vote? Just kidding.
I have no idea. I didn't ask. And from there, you know, I contacted our lobbyist, Kevin McKinney, who's amazing. I trust him so much. And he's been, you know, all the way from the MACC days. Kevin was the first marijuana lobbyist in this state ever. And I told him, you know, here's the bill. Here's the board's formal position. Go to work. And, you know, he very quickly, you know, jumped into action like Kevin does, and came back to me within 24 hours and said, we're going to be just fine. And so my understanding is that, you know, the sponsor isn't moving the bill forward. He was a lone sponsor. There were no co-sponsors. And so we're confident about that. Now, it doesn't always go that easily. The bill is still sitting there. Could be taken up. It would require a supermajority, so it's not something that I'm personally going to lose sleep over. But at least I know where the association officially stands on it. Now, you know, there are some times when, you know, the board votes a certain way because this is a directorship ran association. There are times when the board votes a certain way that, you know, maybe, you know, 95% of the members are happy and 5% of them are upset. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, or fortunately, you know, we have bylaws and I take those bylaws very seriously and run the organization according to the bylaws. So, but I do always try to check in with our members and see how they feel and relay all of that to the board members who do a really good job when they're voting to vote in a way that is good for the whole entire industry. They're good people. Many of them have been, you know, activists. Many of them were caregivers at one time. So they're very sensitive to, you know, the importance of looking out for the industry as a whole instead of their own personal business model and license type.
Thanks for that, Robin. You know, it definitely seems like the democratic process and also the heritage of, you know, just your position and the role you play in this industry has casted a very large and respectable shadow. So I appreciate the wisdom on that.
Sure.
Hey, Robin, Tom with Real Leaf here. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Tom?
Doing excellent. Excellent. First of all, if you're up here, just wanted to extend an invitation for you to come on over and give us a visit if you're in the great Northern Michigan area. You're in our backyard.
I would love to do that. In fact, I was just over at Trout Town and I thought of you and, you know, I said to, you know, my team that was with me, oh, we've got a reach out to these guys and we ran out of time. So I'm going to take you up on that and I'm going to give you a call. We have had a lot of members call and, you know, with the new rules in place, you know, it's going to take some time to even get everybody on the same page with interpreting the new rules. And so, you know, one of them had to do with like, how do we bring plants into facilities? And, you know, it probably took me 24 hours to get a very clear, concise, you know, this is for how an adult use license can bring in, you know, seedlings and seeds and to, you know, and this is how a medical licensee can bring them in and they're a little bit different. And, you know, who you can get them from is a little bit different, but, you know, I've got it in writing, you know, and ready for anybody who's got the question, you know, consistently. And so, you know, that's why I'm saying I'm always happy to help with that, being that we have over 260 members now. We get a lot of, you know, specific questions like that. And we like to work to make sure that everybody has the same answers, which is important to make sure that we're keeping an even playing field for everybody.
Yeah, you know, and with all that being said, I can attest to that entirely with Robin. I contact Robin constantly. She probably sometimes gets tired of hearing from me. But, you know, even the small things, I don't work every single day, you know, trying to read law or trying to research things. I'm a gardener. That's what I do. And I'm an owner operator. So, I don't really have the time all the time to figure everything out. So Robin's definitely got her ear to the ground way more than I do. With 260 members, she's been asked a lot of the small questions that you may, you know, overthink. And then I just wanted to also say that as far as, you know, when we were talking about, you know, gauging the association and trying to represent everybody equally, you know, I'm not a board member, but I do on a regular basis get a phone call from Robin asking me my opinion on things. We talk through some things and you know, I'm really appreciative of that because, you know, I am a small guy. I feel like I came up from the caregiver side, and I feel like Robin really does a real good job of representing all assets of this. We're not a big association with huge members. We're a lot of, you know, mom and pop type of operations, but we do have big ones as well. But I feel like they're all represented equally.
And Kevin, I'll just say, I never get sick of hearing from you. And that's what I meant right there is I feel like, you know, when I answer the phone, when our members call, they're like, oh my gosh, you got right back to me. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm here for you. I really mean that I'm here for you. And so it's one of those, you know, things where, you know, anytime that I'm able to get, you know, answers or get something resolved, you know, like, it really gives me satisfaction to know that I was, you know, able to do that. And I'm always hopeful that our members will be comfortable just, you know, shooting me a text or at any time, like I need help with something. It's what we're here for. And I love being able to help with that.
Yeah. And we appreciate you. I mean, I have contacted you on Saturdays, Sundays, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, at times at midnight when we were going through the application process and writing bills. And so we're incredibly appreciative of everything you've done.
Thank you.
Yeah, just dovetailing on what Kevin was saying there, Robin, I mean, there's so much that we field in real time as we roll out the adult use program, we're rolling out the medical program. I mean, how do you field new questions in real time? Is that something you can answer?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I'm getting the questions, so sometimes you might have something in writing from an inspector that, you know, you don't necessarily agree with, or I take a look at it and go, you know, this, I don't agree that this is correct. You know, I would essentially communicate, you know, to the state that, you know, I didn't feel that something was accurate, and, you know, we work with my team to get it clarified. And come up with a concrete, you know, answer. And it really has to be done on a case by case basis because, you know, I've had members say like, well, can't you put out a huge guidance that covers all of this? And I'm like, no way. There's so many things in this industry from day to day, you know, like throw them at me and let's tackle them one at a time. But for us to like go through the rule set and like put in writing every single little like, you know, rule, like that's not what we're here for. We're here to there's so much and it's ever changing, and you know, the rules just changed again. You know, I and it's so comprehensive, and you find yourself in these new situations because it's a new industry, you know, where we've got to actually figure out what the answers are. So, you know, I would say that, you know, I mean, I have a full staff and I have a whole team, and, you know, we have a lot of hands on deck to be able to, you know, get answers for people pretty quickly.
That's awesome, Robin. Well, I wanted to start just wrapping things up and wanted to ask you one final question, and that is, if I was a prospective member thinking about joining the association, tell me why I should.
So one thing I want to say is that we don't ever beg people to be our members. And I sincerely mean that from the bottom of my heart. And the reason I say that is because we, you know, our number one focus has been member retention and member service, and demonstrating to our existing members, you know, who are active in the association, who see the value in this association, that we can deliver on the things that they need. You know, there are business owners in the state who, quite frankly, only care about themselves and could care less about the industry as a whole. We don't really want those people to be our members. We want members who care about the state of Michigan, who care about the industry, who care about other licensees, who care about their competitors. Those are the quality of people that we want in our association. So for us, it's not about, you know, how many members can we get? And, you know, I mean, we are the biggest, but we don't have to be the biggest. As long as our members that we have are good people. And I'll tell you, I have told people, I don't think that we are a good fit for you because you don't share the same moral compass that our association was founded on, which is fair and equitable licensing, a healthy free market for the cannabis industry. So we have our value system in place as an association. And so, you know, if you want our help, if you want our support, and you're going to come, you know, with a good positive attitude and understand how important every licensee in this industry is, we want you as a member because we want you to help you to contribute to this industry. We want to help you network in this industry. We want to make sure that you have all the services that we can help, you know, provide you, whether it's connecting you with ancillary companies or discounts on insurance, or, you know, helping you find a bank. You know, we want you here for that. But, you know, if you don't have that good attitude, if you don't truly care about industry, we're not begging you to come. But, you know, if you're willing to, you know, be a good steward of the industry, by all means, we're not just an association, we're a family. That's how I view our members. And so it's real personal for us. And so if that sounds like a good fit for you, give me a call.
Oh, that's a great answer. Great answer. All right, Kevin, any final thoughts?
Yeah, no, I really want to, you know, back what Robin's saying there. You know, networking in a new industry like this, you know, I feel like, you know, if you start out tomorrow and you just pick up and you want to be a dispensary owner or a grower, where do you start? Having the ability to network with the amount of people that are involved in the association, these people are willing to share, you know, the things that they've learned. These aren't greedy people. These are good people. And I can't overvalue that which what comes with the association. It's really good. I met Sam there. We actually talked on the phone, you know, way after the fact and realized we had met previously at the wine festival thing at Shanty Creek last year. So, you know, it's been really beneficial for us.
That's awesome. Yep. I concur. Tom, parting thoughts.
Well, I'm kind of bummed about the pontoon party because that's my backyard. So hopefully next year, but I guess throwing it out there, if anyone still wants to go for a boat ride to the you know, to the sandbar, it's still there. So
all right.
And Tom, let's connect on that.
Absolutely. We'll be talking to you.
That's awesome.
Tom, we'll see you at that tea party, all right, buddy? We'll see you at the tea party.
Yeah, you're all invited.
Oh yeah, you guys are going to the tea party. Sam, you got any parting thoughts?
No, Ryan, thanks for having me as always. Robin, it's always a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much and keep up the great work. You guys have been doing an amazing job.
Sam, I'll never forget the first time that I met you at a little town hall with an angry crowd of people who tried to chase us out of town because we were talking about cannabis. It was one of the strangest experiences in my career, and I was there. Happy to know you.
I still have nightmares about those evenings.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, thanks everyone for joining and listening. Thanks, of course, Robin, Sam, and Tom.
I have final thoughts. Can I get them out there
Ryan, okay, all right. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. So, you know, I love you guys. I love how you guys have worked together on Redemption. It's so meaningful to me personally. But I really want to just thank Ryan because, you know, he was an integral part of launching and building the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association. And, you know, when he went off to launch his brand, I was very sad about it. But, you know, Ryan, I just want to say, I don't think we could have done everything we've done without you helping to build that foundation. And I really appreciate, you know, you not only as a friend, but, you know, as a colleague and now as a member. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Robin. That's it. All right. That means a lot to me. You know, like we talk about it on here a lot. Michigan, we got something really good going. We're different in a lot of states. It was over 10 years ago when we met, and you know, most states don't have that. We're friends with the politicians. We just can't be bought by high power lobbyists. So we're doing it. Groups like us and the associations. It was formed by people that have been caregivers and activists, and that's rare too. So I love it. I love what we're all doing, and you know, I appreciate what you do. And that's it for today. Thank you, everyone.
The Smoke and Rope Podcast is produced and hosted by me, Ryan Basor, the owner of Redemption Cannabis. Have ideas for episode topics or would like to be a guest on the show? Contact us at ryanb@redemptioncanna.com. Thanks for being along for the journey.